This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
Are we once again at the center of a heated national conversation with protests planned for tomorrow, June the 30th, over illegal immigration. Authorities have increased security while urging citizens to exercise their constitutional right to protest peacefully. At the same time, government has made it clear that violence, intimidation, and attacks on foreign nationals will not be tolerated. The debate has sparked strong emotions across the country. Certainly a lot of questions are begging at the moment. Marion, I have not forgotten your question. I'll certainly broach it during the course of our conversation with our guest. But for some, it's about border security, unemployment, and pressure on public services. And for others, it's about protecting human rights, avoiding xenophobia, ensuring that complex social and economic problems aren't blamed on one group of people. Well, joining us now to look at the politics behind the headlines, we welcome once again Kenneth Moeng Kwadi. Kenneth is a South African political scientist, also analyst, researcher, columnist, and research fellow at the Middle East Africa Research Institute. Kenneth, welcome back to the Afternoon Brief. Great to have you on board once again.
Good afternoon, Mike, and to the listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on board, as mentioned, Kenneth. For listeners who may only be following the headlines, what exactly are these June 30th protests about from your perspective? And why have they gained so much momentum?
Yeah, they're gaining so much momentum because there's this tension. Is the government involved? Is this protesters involved, and also the foreign nationals, and you also have got ordinary citizens who are at the center of the ongoing marches. So, but what we know is that the people, the ordinary citizens, are frustrated, and they've been guided by the societal leaders that their problems are emanating from the influx of African migrants, which I think it's a defocus and deflections from the real genesis or the causes of their problems. But because the reality is that the ANC have been mismanaging the affairs of the state since 1994 until today. That is why the lives of ordinary people have not changed. So I don't think that blaming, as you were saying during the opening of our conversation, that blaming one group of the people would eventually solve all the problems that the South Africans are undergoing. At the center of this, we know that there is a gross corruption that is taking place, which is committed or perpetrated by the state officials, those who are working for government, and politicians who are at times giving orders for this corruption and mismanagement to take place. So you have got the frustrations of the people who are being galvanized or who are being asked to support this call because they are being given an impression that this would eventually solve all their problems, but we know that it is not true. This starts at resolving the political leadership, which is the cost crisis in this country, because they have not done anything rather than collapsing all the municipalities around the country, and they have collapsed all the state-owned entities which were engineered during the National Party's era to help to increase the employment levels in the country.
You know, Kenneth, on the basis of what you've just outlined now, it begs the question, I mean, how much of this public anger is really driven by perception rather than measurable evidence about the impact of illegal immigration?
Yeah, so you must also understand that obviously political actors would always exploit these sensitive issues and galvanize support based on this issue. So it happens around the world. So they have identified this issue, and then they are going to use it as a decoy to galvanize support from black communities which are affected or are frustrated by the socio-political issues that are affecting them. Since 1994, they've been given impression by the ANC that their problems would be solved by these politicians, but they have not done anything rather than collapsing everything that they have they have really touched. So we are not going to expect much from the ordinary citizens, because they are taking guidance from their own leaders who are exploiting these sensitive issues, which have now metamorphosed or have turned into humanitarian crisis, as we are seeing the visuals from Durban. So we really are panicking, as we are seeing the state also is panicking, because we don't know what is or what might happen tomorrow, as the tensions are rising and mounting, and the government have been unable to deal or to arrest this situation. Because my imagination is that the cabinet or the leadership was supposed to reach out to the organizers and leaders of these marches, but they have not done so, because they believe that doing so would legitimize the ongoing marches. But not doing so also, it risks turning this into a bloodshed, as we saw in 1960, because we have not seen something of this magnitude. We have not seen something of this nature in the post-1994. So we don't want to see the spill of blood.
You know, we look at this, the issue of separating fact from perception. Now, you know, there have been many claims made about immigrants taking jobs or driving crime. Now, as a political analyst, I mean, what do you make of that from a point of view of how important is that in this debate, you know, is informed by evidence rather than emotion?
Yes, you know, you go to every country where the political leadership lacks a response or an answer to the problems that are engulfing their society. You look at this from historical perspective. In Germany, when Hitler was unable to solve the societal problems, and then the Jewish people and started to blame them. You go to Zimbabwe, the same thing happened in the year 2000, when ZANU-PF and Mugabe were unable to lead their country to development, to become a developmental state. And they started to blame the white people who were producing food in Zimbabwe, that if they are to take back the land, then the problems of the Zimbabweans would go away. But that did not happen. So it also happened in many parts of Africa, where the political leadership would take the advantage of a small or a minor group in society and start to, you know, blame them, point finger at them for all the problems that they are having, because they are unable to take accountability for all the errors or for all the mistakes that they have committed during their reign. So this is something that the ANC have engineered and is responsible for since 1994. But because there's this societal groups which are now pointing fingers where we know that these people are not the origins of the problems of Africans. The problem of South Africans has always been the bad political leadership, which is why we are where we are today, as a result of firstly corruption, mismanagement, and you are looking at all the commission of inquiries that have been conducted in South Africa. They are all blaming mismanagement and corruption at the center of collapsing of all government apparatus. So it shows that we lack ethical and moral grounded political leadership to solve all the problems that are happening in the country. So it is the ANC which have really caused this tension between the South African citizens and the foreign nationals who've been living together even before 1994 in the townships, in the villages, coexisting in harmony.
Sure. Let's look beyond our borders for a second, Kenneth. South Africa's long been a destination for people fleeing conflict, seeking economic opportunities across the continent. Now, how could these protests now affect the country's relationships with its neighbors and its reputation on the continent?
You know, this is bad, or it's hypocrisy at its best, because just a few months ago, more than a year ago, you had South African government taking the state of Israel to court on the basis of the human rights, the human rights card. But you are now looking at it, and then South Africa is now the perpetrator of human rights. So what message does it send on the international stage? So it's hypocrisy at its best, because the government have been unable to deal with their own citizens who are perpetrating the humanitarian crisis against the foreign nationals. So South Africa has been a destination even before 1994 to many other people, as you are mentioning, who are at times facing dehumanizing situations in their home countries. So it has always been like this for many years. And the South Africans themselves have been living in harmony with foreign nationals in the townships, in the villages. Even today, they live live harmoniously. So there's this perception, which is obviously fueled by politicians who are to benefit, especially as we are approaching the local government elections, and they don't want to publicly, you know, condemn what is happening, because they understand quite well that it will deal harshly with their prospect of winning or maximizing their electoral support. So this has to do with the propaganda, a calculated propaganda, obviously, to try and deflect attention from the real causes of the problems of South Africa. The real problems, the causes of the problem of South Africa, is the bad leadership emanating from the ANC. And as such, the ANC is not being held accountable, and they don't want to condemn what is happening, because they are enjoying this political deflection, which is obviously something that they are perpetuating to try and convince the people that the problems that are facing South Africans are emanating from the foreign nationals, or the influx, or the porous borders.
Sure. Kenneth, as we begin to wrap up our conversation, let's look beyond June the 30th, beyond tomorrow. What practical steps do you think could really help address immigration concerns, whilst at the same time preserving social cohesion and the rule of law?
We have got existing laws, we have got borders, we have got the BMA and other agencies which have been set up to deal particularly with issues of managing borders and making sure that they do policing internally or inside the country, like any other country, to make sure that those who have got no papers or proper papers are deported. We have got Lindela and many other deportee or deportation centers. But they are not effective or efficient, because there's this gross corruption that I'm talking about, which is perpetrated or caused by the state officials, those who are working for government. And many of them, yes, have been apprehended, but a lot needs to be done, because these people are not arriving here by sort of a magic. So they are entering through the entrance and exit, the borders in the country. And there are human beings there who have been fielded or employed by government, who are obviously in cahoots with those who are entering the country illegally. So a lot needs to be done in terms of properly or efficiently managing the borders of the country, and making sure that the SAPS, together with its sister stakeholders, are working as they are supposed to be working, to ensure that they deport those who need to be deported. A lot of corruption is taking place in the Home Affairs, so a lot needs to be done to make sure that they properly manage those, you know, the people who are coming from outside the outside the country without proper documentation. So at times we don't look at how they are victims themselves, the foreign nationals, because they are expected to pay a huge sum of bribe to these officials, and those who don't have this money are then not processed by Home Affairs.
Sure.
So a lot needs to be done from our side so that we can create this harmony between South Africans and the foreign nationals. But more and more, I think the government needs to attend to its people's needs, because this will always erupt each year, especially when we are approaching elections. We saw this happening in 2008, and every time when elections are approaching, we see these tensions, erupting between the foreign nationals and the ordinary South African. So this needs to be permanently be dealt with by making sure that the government works with private sector to create economic opportunities for the locals.
Indeed. Kenneth, very quickly, a question I received from one of our listeners. The listener saying they need to drop someone at the airport tomorrow. Not sure about the airport highway. I guess it's a very generic question in terms of how can people then find out, where would be the sensitive spots or where or areas to avoid? What advice would you give there very quickly?
Now, I think that if it's possible tomorrow, I think people should stay indoors just for tomorrow. The most places that are going to be targeted would be the most populated cities, such as Johannesburg, Rustenburg, and many of these big cities where obviously the foreign nationals are assumed to be, because they are obviously looking for opportunities there in Cape Town, in Durban, and other cities. But the rural provinces are not going to be affected as urban provinces. I'm talking about provinces such as Northwest Limpopo, Mpumalanga. They're going to be less affected compared to Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape are going to be hugely affected, as we've previously seen this protest taking place there.
Kenneth, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us on today's show. Kenneth Moeng-Kwadi, South African political scientist, also analyst, researcher, columnist, and research fellow at the Middle East Africa Research Institute. We've been looking at the issue of immigration, touching on economics, also security, human rights, diplomacy, and social cohesion, all at the same time. All this factoring in on tomorrow's protests, June the 30th. And to our listeners, wherever you stand, whatever you stand on the issue, we encourage informed discussion. Of course, now always respectful dialogue, commitment to building a country that is both secure and united. Marion, I think what's best is just look on the tabloids or on community notices and inquire there as to, where exactly will be the hotspots during the course of tomorrow. That's the best advice we can give now. We're not exactly sure which direction, literally speaking, in terms of where in the main metros, as Kenneth mentioned, that these protests are going to be happening. But I think the general message here is just be vigilant and just be aware and alert and just really look out for whatever route or whatever path is safer for you during the course of tomorrow.